First Corinthians 12, please. This is old ground. I think these portions have been covered so many times that maybe as we get into them, we feel it's pretty redundant to get into them. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, taking various chunks and pieces of it, following out some of the problems that Paul has dealt with and how he's helping this church. I've reminded you of a lot of things as we've gone through the book, and I remind you again that this is a church. These people are born-again people. Paul doesn't doubt their salvation. He sees these people as people who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are problems the congregation was having. The problems they were having were a sign of immaturity, a sign of not really understanding spiritual growth, a sign of not really understanding the place of gifts or the place of usefulness. And so much of what Paul was doing was by way of correction. There were problems with immorality. There were problems of lawsuit. There were problems of division. And division is one of the biggest problems in the book. It comes out earlier in the book, where there was division over methodology of preaching, styles of delivering of message, certain ways of persuasion to get people to understand and grasp your point. And there were divisions over liking certain ways and certain people, and Paul dealt with that. Now, when he gets to the matter of spiritual gifts, he has to emphasize again, and very strongly, he has to emphasize this matter of oneness in the Spirit before he begins to talk about the usefulness of gifts. The church in the Scriptures is often referred to as a body. It's referred to many things. But one of the most common ways of referring to is a body. So when we talk about body life, that's a term. That's a scriptural term. It is the life that is demonstrated through people in the body, and the Bible says we are fitly framed together and prepared by God in order to get the word out. Now remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to his Father, he had a plan and a purpose for the church, and that plan still holds. The gospel is to go into the whole world. He is building his church, and the plan is a supernatural plan. In other words, God knew that in doing his work, in doing it under his direction, we were going to have his help. We were going to have the work of the Holy Spirit. He was going to direct the work from heaven. And as he directed the work from heaven, he would be working through his children, giving them abilities to carry out this task. And so this is important to remember. So when he rose again from the dead, it says in Ephesians, as he rose again from the dead and went to his Father, that portion where it says he left captivity captive, and then it says he gave gifts to the church. And this is important for us to understand. These things that we call spiritual gifts are for the purpose of building up the body in numbers and building up the body in strength and edification. And so Paul is going to approach this problem this way. Another thing I think you should learn, and I've harped on this a lot, I think I repeat myself too much, is that Paul has a unique way of handling problems. Pay special attention. Let's say, for example, in chapters 8, 9, and 10, we went over that there was a problem of those who were scrupulous about eating certain kinds of foods offered in the temple, and those who felt stronger in the faith. He begins by giving a very brief idea of what the problem is. But before he gets to the solutions of chapter 10, and in chapter 10 he deals with a lot of solutions, he lays down principles that are important for them to understand if they're going to take care of the problem. And Paul often does that. He'll state the problem, then he'll state a number of spiritual things we must understand, and then once we grasp those spiritual things, then he'll give us some answers, and he'll specifically deal with some problems. So in chapter 12, 13, and 14, you have one section where Paul is dealing with this area of gifts. There were the misuse of gifts. There were the misunderstanding. Here in chapter 12, 1, we went over it last week. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. They were misunderstanding some things. But what he's going to do is he starts very briefly stating what he sees as a problem. And then he's going to go into some principles in chapter 12 and 13. And then in chapter 14, he will specifically address some issues. So what we're dealing with this week and in a couple of weeks to come down the line is we're dealing with principles that you and I ought to grasp that would help us to deal with specific problems that might come up. If we understand these solutions or these principles, then you and I will be able to live properly. Now, I want to lay out something that I think Paul does, and I want to show you three places he does it. Paul starts out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verses 1 to 13 by emphasizing unity. When you read chapter 12, verses 1 to 13, no matter how you look at the individual gifts, and we'll talk about them in another week or so, the emphasis is unity. And then after that, from verses 14 to 31, the emphasis is diversity. Unity and diversity. There is unity. And then there is a diversity among us, but there's a unity that holds us together. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 1 to 13, he deals with the subject of maturity. All right. Now, I'll show you in Romans chapter 12, he does basically the same thing. In Romans chapter 12, and he begins by telling us to give our bodies as living sacrifices. And if you read verses 3, 4, and 5, you'll see he emphasizes there the unity of the body. We are one body. And as he emphasizes unity of the body, then he goes on in verse 6 and tells us about the diversity. There are different gifts. There are different ways of serving. And then you'll see in verse 9, he begins the subject of maturity. He begins to talk about practical living. So there's oneness of the body. Then he talks about the gifts, the diversity, and then he begins after that to talk about the maturity, loving one another, serving one another, living a practical life before one another. He does the same thing also in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 4. In verses 1 to 6, he's talking about unity. There's one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit, and we are to keep the unity of the faith and a bond of peace, okay? We are brought together as one. And then right after that, in verses 7 to 12, he began to talk about the diversity. There are gifts, and to each one has been given a gift. And then he talks about how the gifts are to be used, and he talks about to equip us. And then right after that, and if you follow that out carefully, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, I think you'll find right after that he begins to talk about maturity. We are not to be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We are to grow. And then he talks about many practical things, walking in Christian unity, walking in love, serving. So it seems to be that Paul often has that on his mind. He wants people to understand how we're one. We're a body. The Spirit has taken and put us into a body and made us one. Now that's going to help us when we get to the diversity of use of our gifts. Because when we get to the diversity of use of our gifts and we see the way other people serve, we'll still remember we're one. And it's the same Spirit that is given to everybody that gift. And then we'll also know something that's very important, maturity. I've made these statements before, and I think they're worth repeating. Having a spiritual gift does not mean you are spiritual, and it does not mean you're mature. You need to be mature for God to use that gift, and spirituality means walking with the Lord and letting Him work through you. But the gift is given the moment we're born again. The moment we are put into the body of Christ, we receive this capacity by the work of the Spirit to serve Him. So Paul is talking here about this pattern, and it's important to understand that there is the work of the Spirit, and that He's gave birth to the body, chapter 12, verse 13, and He wants to work in His people. He wants to work through His people. Now remember, this is to carry out His work. And I believe very strongly that if He wanted us just to use, and I'm trying to be very careful I say this, because there are many things we can use, but if He wanted us just to use the commercial methods of the world, I don't know why He would have given us the Holy Spirit. He would have just told us to go ahead and use salesmanship-type principles in order to get the people hooked on a product. There has to be a supernatural spiritual work done through us and in the hearts of the other people. And only the Holy Spirit can break down that resistance. So the risen Savior has done this. So there are principles in chapter 12 and 13 that are fundamental to understanding the solution in chapter 14. And by way of introduction, I think it's important that Paul deals with this manner. Now, last week we covered very briefly the first three verses because I wanted to just talk about some of the things that we're ignorant on and ignorant about. Now, in verse 3 it says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now, it's amazing how much we misunderstood this verse. We kind of have the idea that if anybody does any radical thing, any wild thing, any crazy thing, if we say to him, "Do you believe Jesus is Lord?" and he says, "Yes, I believe Jesus is Lord," well, then it's got to be okay. Is that what Paul is really saying? And second of all, I've done this before. I've done this when I was in Columbia. I've talked to people on the street and in coffee shops who were not saved, and I asked them if they believe Jesus is Lord, and probably 3 out of 10 said yes. Does that mean they have the Holy Spirit? Paul is talking here, I think, and this is a hard one. Paul is talking here about the fact that, as I said last week, these people had gone up to a pagan temple. As pagans, they had worshipped a certain way, and part of their worship was to be carried away. Part of their worship was ecstasy. They believed that by being carried away and kind of losing their sense of control, they were made one with their God. It's possible, very possible, that somebody in the meeting was getting up and going through this sort of thing and saying Jesus was accursed. But the fact that they were going through the emotional and they were going through certain things made everybody think because they had a certain style of doing it, they might have the Holy Spirit. I think what he's talking here about is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we can call him Lord of our life. It is only by the Holy Spirit that he will do this work in our lives. And this is important because it seems to me that the church in Corinth is getting a little bluffed by some people. Now you may say, well, how could anybody call Jesus accursed? Well, I was in a meeting years ago where we were in school and we were studying, and there were people who came in and said, what we need to do is start rebuking Satan in our prayers. We need to start rebuking Satan. We need to start facing Satan head on. We need to just fight him. We're in a spiritual battle. So this person was talking about it and got down, and we were praying, and one of the prayer meetings, we were on our knees, and somebody said, started praying, and then somebody made a slip of the tongue, it was a slip of the tongue. But it was kind of interesting. It arrested my attention. This person said, Lord, we rebuke you. Satan, we rebuke you. And it was one of the things where the person got mixed up in this and caused a slip of the tongue. And I thought to myself, here's a person who inadvertently did this. Certainly the Holy Spirit wasn't working in that person's prayer at the time. Paul seems to be pointing at the fact that some were misusing this idea, and because they were misusing this and somehow saying Jesus was accursed, and everybody felt that even though he or she had this emotional experience, they must be right. Now let's go into the first part of this outline. I want you to notice from verses 4 to verse 13, the key is unity. The key is unity. Don't focus on the gifts. And I've said this before, you've heard me say it before as we've taught this. Don't focus on the gifts. The gifts are mentioned here. We'll talk about the gifts next week. The gifts are mentioned here in these verses, and the verses are talking about wisdom and knowledge and healings and prophecy, etc. But don't focus on them. Focus on the word the same. The same. See, Paul is starting out with unity, the same. And this is more important than what the different gifts are. We'll list them as we go along, and the lists differ, giving me the idea there's a lot of room in some of this, but the point is, the issue here is the same. What one person does by the work of the Holy Spirit and another person does, it is the same Spirit working in all of them. Keep in mind the sameness of this. So now, he starts out here, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. All right? They all depend on the same God. Individually, they have many gifts. Individually, we have many ways of serving. Individually, we have many results. But it's God, Paul says in Philippians 2:13, who works all in all to both will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's look at this. First, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Now, why did they need to understand that? Because they had taken this thing of gifts and put some on the lower run and some on the higher run, and they took styles and put some up here, and they had this little nice little package divided among them. And then there were some people who were being used mightily, and there were some people who were not being used in a big way. And they were thinking, well, that person used in a big way must be more spiritual, and that person used that way cannot be very spiritual. And there were some people who had a greater effect in what they did. In others, a narrow effect. So they were judging it on that basis. And Paul begins with something that is very, very important. There are many gifts. There are many ways of serving, verse 5. And there are many results. But it's the same. The source is from God. The sphere of ministry or service is from God. And the energy, the results, the workings are from God. And there's I wouldn't make a whole lot out of it here, but there certainly is a Trinitarian notice here. The Spirit, the Lord, and the same God. Now let's look at it a little bit then, the diversity of gifts. It says there are different kind of gifts. Now let's look at the word very briefly this morning. Gift is where we get our word charismatic from. If you hear somebody use the word charismatic, it has the idea of gifts, and it has the idea of gifts being manifested. But I've said this before, and I guess I'm going to be making that phrase 100 times too, is that the word charis comes from the original word gift, the same word for grace, and it means a gift, and every gift is charismatic. I'm not trying to split hairs or nitpick. But every gift is from the Holy Spirit. And every gift is charis. Every gift is Spirit-given, charismatic. And therefore, in a technical sense, we have a right to say, if somebody says to me, do you have a charismatic gift? And I know what they're asking. Do I heal or speak in tongues? I have a perfect right to say yes. And let them go off and think I'm into something weird. I have a perfect right to say yes. Because all gifts are grace given. And that has to be understood from the beginning. You see, this is very important. It comes from God's grace, and it's a gift to each child. It has nothing to do with personal merits, personal ability, outstanding background, or lack of outstanding background. It is a gift of His grace given to us and His Spirit working in us. So all the gifts are charismatic. And some people think that nitpicking outside of our circles, it certainly isn't nitpicking. I don't like to have somebody stand in front of me because they know I don't heal and speak in tongues and say I don't have a charismatic gift. I don't want to always sound precise, but that is wrong. Every gift is from the Holy Spirit. And so it's important to understand that. All gifts given, be it the gift of showing mercy, which is usually a very quiet, hidden away gift, where people are served, people who are helpless are served. That is a charismatic gift, just as much as other gifts. So there are diversities of charismata, diversities of showing the way the Spirit works, diversities of these grace-given gifts. In other words, there are many gifts. And that's important. There's diversities, but the issue is by what? The same Spirit. Focus right now on the same Spirit. Next week we'll talk about diversity. The same Spirit. Every gift, every person who has a gift, is given it by the same Holy Spirit. Now, some might have thought they had more of the Spirit. No, I didn't have more of the Spirit. God gave them the Spirit, and they were working in a certain way, but they didn't have more of the Spirit. It is the same Spirit. And therefore, there's no sense in here where one has to feel as if they've been left out or cheated. We're reminded here that there are these many gifts, but it's by God's grace and mercy they've been given to us. And of course, on the basis, we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is working in everybody else. The Corinthians use their gift for fomenting divisions. And you can look in here and you can see in these next week chapters, there were many divisions. And they had, in fact, next week you'll see there was an upper echelon and a lower echelon. Well, before Paul gets and deals with that subject, he said, you must understand that every gift, every spiritual gift is given by the same Spirit. And that's nice to know, isn't it? When I go out and do my little work, or you go out and do whatever God's called you to in the sphere of your life, you know that the same Holy Spirit that works in some mighty person who's doing great things is the same Spirit that works in you to do God's will. And there doesn't have to be any inferiority about it. God knows what the body is. The risen Savior has a plan. And he wants the body to be fitly framed together as every joint, member supplied. And he has a plan, and he knows exactly what he wants to do. And he's created this diversity because it covers a whole realm of service. But it's the same Holy Spirit. And that's nice. That's really nice to know. So the emphasis, I said, is on the same. The Corinthians set up gifts as a matter of pride. They set up gifts as a matter of one against another. And this comes out, and there was tension and friction that showed they needed to understand this. Because somehow they thought some people had more of the Holy Spirit than others. So, the emphasis is the same Spirit. Now in verse 5 he says, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Now the word ministries, the root word of this is where we get a word for deacon, service. So you could put it this way, there are different ways to serve, but it is the same Lord, Jesus Christ, who is head of the body, and the gifts have been given, who puts us in the areas of service. So that takes care of some of this pride too. Somebody is used in a big way and somebody is used in a way that doesn't seem big. It's the same Lord. Jesus Christ is head of the body. There are different ways of serving, but the difference isn't important. What's important is the same Lord Jesus Christ. Is he Lord of our lives? Is he Lord of what we do? And this is very, very important because the Corinthians get it followed up, and so do we. There are many ways of serving. Many, many, many ways of using your gifts. Many ways. And it's important for us to understand this. He enables his people to render service. This refers to the service that he calls each one in it, one of us to. It's been a joy for a person like myself. As things take place in my life and limitations, it's been a joy to know that he always knows where he wants me, what he wants to do, and always know that whatever little thing he gives me in the vineyard, even if the field is narrowing, he's the Lord. See? And one thing I don't need is guilt feelings at. I can't do other things, nor do you. So, the second point is then, there are differences of service. But the issue is the same Lord. We compare service. And sometimes we should look at other people and learn things. And sometimes we should let them help us, obviously. There are different things we should learn. But while service differs from one person to the other, it is the same Lord in them. The same Lord in them that does the work. See how fundamental this is to getting to the solution. He equips us. And what is necessary for us to do, He equips us to do. He will lead us. He will lay before us opportunities. And He will work in us. So it's the same Spirit that gives gifts. And it's the same Lord Jesus Christ who controls everybody's service. And that's what we ought to be concerned about, mostly. Is He Lord of this thing I do? Is He Lord of what I am doing? Is He the head of what I am doing? Am I submissive in what I am doing? That is the thing that's important. Because He picks the vineyard. He picks the places in our lives and the offices or shops or whatever it is, or however, Bible camps where we serve. He picks those. The issue then is He Lord? Are we recognizing Him as Lord? Are we letting Him take that thing and be glorified through it? Because that's the only reason He gave us gifts. Actually, He didn't give us gifts necessarily to be useful. He gave us gifts so it would end up glorifying Himself. The next thing, verse 6, is there are diversities of activities. You know, this word is often translated operations. It is a usual word for work. And it has to do with the idea of results. All right, different ways of work, different outcomes of things, different workings. So there are diversities of activities. Man, people are doing all kinds of things. See, there are diversities in all things. But the results, the outworkings, the productivity, the results are from what? It's the same God who works all in all. So there are three things here. Different gifts, but the Holy Spirit is the one who gave the gift to everybody. There are different places of service, different places, but the Lord is the one who appoints. And there are different results or operations, but it is God who works all in all. You know what that does to create unity? It takes the pressure off of trying to be like somebody else, doesn't it? Sure it does. And it takes the pressure off of us from feeling we're inferior. Sure it does. All of us want to be productive. All of us want to bear hundredfold fruit, much fruit. And yet as we walk and we obey God, it's nice to know that the Holy Spirit gave us a gift, the head of the body assigns and places, and the Father is the one who's working all in all, the results. Isn't that wonderful? It's a truth that should be grasped. And I think it's important. It will certainly take the pressure off. And I tell you one thing, it'll keep this spirit of competition that can come into a body. The spirit of envy, the spirit of competition that often comes in. So it is the thought here, the thought is that God's power in action, the divine activities are diverse. They're manifold. But it's the same God working within people. The activities are diverse, but the same God working in people. So one of the points I want to make is there can be no divisions among people in the church on the grounds of gifts. Because it's the one and the same God who provides the gift in all their diversities. So this is important. As you want to know what you can do, and you're interested in what God can do through you, you must see this. Now notice again how Paul starts. I take it that Paul was a master at dealing with problems, and the fact that he started here must mean he felt that this was fundamental. You ever notice how he lays solid, foundational, fundamental things to build on? And if you can't build on this, we start building wrong, right? But if we build on this, we build correctly. Because we build on the fact that it's the same Holy Spirit. Anybody here was born again. The same Spirit of God lives in you that lives in anybody else. Not a little bit, a little bit of peace or something. The Holy Spirit. And it's the same Lord who knows exactly your capacities and what He wants you to do and where you came from and what you can do and what he wants to work through. And He's the Lord that assigns. And then it's the Father who works all in all. That's why even when you see people doing the same kinds of work, so to speak, and there are different results, We have to be quick to say that one person's results are inferior to the other because it's not as much. Now, it's possible it can be, because sometimes God doesn't bless us because of sin in our lives. But what is really important is to understand that God may work in a way that there may be more here and less there, but they're both perfectly doing the will of God. They're both in the Lordship of Christ. Let's take Martine and Malaga. I've talked about Malaga hundreds of times. That little assembly back in the mountains is living in a rough time. Even now, the latest news I got, it's rough. It's mean up there, people. Hard. And Martine's been an elder up there now, mine, for 15, 16, 17 years. Oh, longer than that. That's got to be longer. I've been home that long. Anyway, it's hard on this man. And that little assembly, you go in there and you see like 30 people. You say, 20 years, 30 people. Winning a soul up there is hard. The church, the government, the people fight it. And when they win one soul, boy, they work. See? And besides, two of the elders in Bucaramanga, originally from Malaga, they were saved there, but there are no jobs in Malaga. So they go off to the city. Bucaramanga, in fact, the assembly there is very healthy. It's now over 200 in fellowship, and they're all putting another addition on the building. Plus, they have other meetings they've started around town. And they've really siphoned off from Malaga many solid people. But if you go to Malaga on first impression, what a place, 20 years ago, and look at them. These people really work. And God has taken Martin and Atanasio and Anibal, a bunch of campesinos that the world sees as nothing, and he's placed them there. And that's where they live. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same Father. And when they win a soul, they've been in a battle. It's been a battle. So this is one of the things Paul wants to do. This is very, very important to grasp. Now, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation here is something that means something that's open and public. In other words, our gifts will be made known. Our gifts will be seen. Our gifts will be recognized. The manifestation of the Spirit. How the Spirit shows itself, Himself. How the Spirit works. All right? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. I like that. Given to each one. Not reserved for a few outstanding people. To each one. Now he brings out a purpose. For the profit of all. Now the reason I think he gets in this, and I don't think he wastes words, is that some people felt it was just for their personal profit. Now I want to say this, and we'll talk about it much later on in 14. Certainly a gift builds you up. The proper use of a gift builds you up. But I don't have a gift of the Spirit to build me up. I have a gift of the Spirit to serve. Sometimes when I use my gift, I'm depleted. Worn out. True. And sometimes you do some things and you just feel exhausted. A gift may build you up. Sure it does. But that's not the purpose of it. The purpose is for the profit of all. The building up and the edification of all. So it takes the focus away from what am I getting out of this and what's it doing for me? And it focuses on the body. The body. We are a body. We are one. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, not for rivalry or jealousy, but for the profit of all. And while we may be built up through the use of our gifts, let me tell you sometimes we're not built up through the use of our gifts. Sometimes you're worn out, weary. You feel like it's gone out of you. This last week, we elders were involved in something, and it just felt like if somebody stuck a pin and just all went out. Flat, emotionally flat. It's for the profit of other people. Now, verse 8. Now, here he mentions gifts. But again, listen, this is what's important is when you read this portion, don't focus on the gifts, although later we'll talk about them. Focus on the word. Let's read this. For to one, now that means somebody in that group, is given the word of wisdom, here's the emphasis, through the Spirit. And to another, over here and over here, the word of knowledge through the same spirit. And to another, faith. This is a hard one to understand. And again, we'll try to talk about this faith. But the issue is, but by the same spirit. And to others, the gifts of healings by the same spirit. And to another, the working of miracles over here, maybe, and over there. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirit. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same spirit works in all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. You can read this, and the first thing you can do is read it and make a list of all the gifts and focus on the gifts. I don't think that's what Paul wants him to focus on at this time. He's just throwing the gifts out. This isn't an exhausted list of gifts. He's just throwing gifts out, that's all. He could have named a lot of gifts. What he's interested in is getting the term the self-same, the same, the same, the same, the same, the same. That is important. For a young believer just discovering their abilities and gifts, oh my, how important it is to understand that. Look at people, learn from people, have God show you and teach you through people, but keep yourself in tune to how the Spirit will work through you. Make Him Lord of your life. Recognize what He's given you of the Spirit, and it's for the profit of all. In other words, there's not this freelancing. The body. So Paul says, it is the same Spirit works all these things. What are these things? All of these things I just mentioned. It's the same Spirit. It did this and this and this. The person who has wisdom, the person who has this. It's the same Spirit that did all these things. And how important this is, isn't it? Distributing. Who distributes? The Spirit to each one. And I like this, individually, in the body we are individuals, but each one individually, and I love this statement, as he wills. Now, that's really important, because as he wills means it is not an act of my own choice. Now I know right away, some of your eyes may go to verse 31. We'll deal with verse 30 when we get to verse 31. See? But it is as he was. It's not an act of my own choice. It's not an act of obedience. This may surprise you. You don't get a gift because you obey. You get a gift because, verse 13, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Obedience is important to our gifts. Oh yeah, I have to be obedient to use it. But as he wills. It's not an act of our own choice. It's not an act of obedience. Now listen, balance this out carefully. It's not even an act of separation from sin. See, there are those who fear you go through these steps. You must obey. You must separate yourself from sin. You must pray. You must, and I read a lot of books like this early in my Christian life, you must empty yourself or yield. And brother, you try that. Try. The more you try to empty yourself, the more you're going to find out you're full of crud. It's true. I know of no other word to use. See, dig down into that well, and pretty soon the fresh water becomes stale water, and the stale water becomes muck, and it becomes a mess. And I spent years trying to empty myself. Say, oh, gee. Praise the Lord for biblical truth. And or a total faith. Now, I'm not saying none of these things are important, because certainly a yielding is important. And putting aside things and learning how to empty ourselves from certain sins is correct. And prayer is correct. And separation from sin is correct. And obedience is correct. But that's not how you get a gift. You don't get a gift by doing that. It is given to you when you're born again. And the maturity we have in the body as we grow is the discovery of the manifestation of the Spirit through us, how He wants to use us. Of course, we'll talk about this later too, but it means I have to take some risks. It means I have to do some things. It means I have to follow the urgings of my heart. It means I have to try some things. That means that when I feel little promptings in my heart, instead of saying, well, that's just a thought, maybe take it as a Holy Spirit. Promptings to visit this or do this or study this or share this. Promptings. It may very well be the Holy Spirit pushing you forward to show how He wants to manifest Himself. Let me draw some conclusions here that are important in this section. First of all, keep the unity of the Spirit in view. You must keep the unity of the Spirit in view. We are a body, and He is in control of its purposes and goals. Keep that in view. Number two, respect His workings in other people. This is basic to the use of our service. Keep a correct attitude toward other people. Other ways of doing it. Other ways of doing it. And I'm not talking about methodology, and I'm not talking about many things. I'm just simply saying there's diversity. And even among us, there's a diversity. I was at camp 2 weeks ago, and the other speaker was a doctor of theology. Imagine what that did to me at first. I said, who's the other speaker? I know Dave McLeod. Who's the other speaker? And I'm hoping, you know, and I get there and I find out, oh, gee, they just invited this PhD from Emmaus. And for about 2 minutes, I felt about this big. It was very interesting. It's respecting is working in other people. When I was there, somebody said something to me. Says somebody who liked me said, "Well, we're going to get a good Bible teacher and a theologian a la mode." Well, I didn't particularly. I wasn't comfortable with that, but I didn't say anything. A couple of days later, I was talking to a person having coffee with him, a person I really like. I suppose because they like me, I suppose. Anyway, I was having coffee with this person, and this person said, I immediately went out and confessed that. Boy, do I have a tongue. See? He says, I'm going to pay more attention to the doctor. In other words, this person wasn't impressed with titles and wasn't really going to listen. But he said, I went out and confessed it right away. And I'm paying better attention. So respect his working in others. It's basic to your service. Basic. It's an attitude that is important. Number three, it's for the common good. Don't forget, it's for the common good. We're not all freelancers. It must build up the body. It must edify. It must not be used for divisions or to put us in groups. It is for the profit of all. And you see, when that person said that to me at camp, even though the person's a dear friend, I didn't rebuke them or anything, but I felt very uncomfortable. I thought, you know, I don't like that. I'm struggling anyway. You know, I've got to get up and give my usual yakking, and I'm going to hear somebody with a big vocabulary give me some teaching. I don't need that. So but they came back and they confessed. But it's an interesting thing. It's for the common building up, not division. I sent at that time when that person said that a little bit of division. I thought, that isn't right. Listen to both of us. See, listen to my usual haranguings and yakkings. Listen, there may be something there, but listen to this guy too. Listen to him. So it is to build up the body, not to divide or put into groups. Remember also, it's as He wills. I just talked about this a moment ago. It's as He wills, as He chooses. Paul, remember, also here he's talking about moving on from infancy to maturity. And the figure of the body of Christ is certainly a good way to teach us about mutual interdependence of the various members of the church, of the body of Christ. So keep this in view. We must focus on growth, the use of our gift. Growing together in the body of Christ or numerically. We focus on growth. That keeps away from sort of independence. It makes me give myself more for the body of Christ. I also must be thankful for the grace He's shown to me. I must be thankful for it. You must be thankful for it. Be thankful for what He's shown you. And if there's more to discover, make Him Lord of your life. Let Him discover it. Making Him Lord of your life may mean extending yourself more, spending more time doing something, going out of your way, being inconvenienced. It may mean doing something you don't particularly like to do, truly. But you may find in doing that the Holy Spirit may work and show things to you and other people that really make them sense God's working in your life. So we must accept what He's given to us as He wills. Accept what He's given to you. I must recognize what He's given to others. I don't have to serve in the same place. I don't have to serve in the same way. I don't have to serve with the same results. Verses 4, 5, and 6. Well, that takes the pressure off people. That takes the pressure off. I must recognize my dependence on the body. I must recognize my dependence on the body. You and I have something to do, but it's very incomplete. It's very incomplete. It needs all of the people working to build it up. And because there's such a diversity among us, we must remember the unity above all else. So the emphasis in this portion is unity. Now, next week when we start the next portion, now we'll deal with diversity. But the first thing Paul starts out with is unity. And I cannot emphasize more strongly that Paul has a way, a kind of a methodology, if I can use this, a way of dealing with problems that is almost always the same. He touches on a problem, he lays out principles that are important to build our lives on, and then he brings in a solution. You really have no solution to this problem until chapter 14. Chapter 12 and 13 are building fundamentally basic things. And they're practical. But they're all dealing with attitudes. They're all dealing with understanding. All of this is dealing with how we see things. And then he'll deal with some very practical issues. Paul knows this, that you could give answers to people. I could plunge in right away and give a series on how to develop your gift. Well, we could do that and probably will. But these things you got to have before you go on. And if you're doing something, you got to have it while you're doing it. Because this will help you. This will help you. It takes the whole sting out of comparing two speakers, one with another at a Bible camp, where both of them are friends and they just want to minister the word. See? Take the sting out of this. And it opens us to the Holy Spirit. So that's how Paul started out. In those first 13 verses, focus on the word unity. The same Lord, the same Spirit, the same God, the self same Spirit, the self same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit. God's working here, and He works in all of us. And the same Holy Spirit that lives in you lives in the rest of us. So the issue is this: will you make Him Lord of your life to help understand the manifestation of the Spirit? Is there some particular little thing in your life that you're holding back on and you feel like you could do it? You feel like you could be something, you could do it, but you hold back because you don't give yourself. You don't discipline yourself. You stay away from the body of Christ. Do it. Give yourself. Extend yourself. Stretch yourself out. Then you're going to find out. Because it will not just pop out of thin air, the manifestation. It won't just come out of... It won't come like that. But it says we make Him the Lord of our lives, and we give Him the priority, and we begin to follow those urgings. We begin to find out. I believe some of you are being held back. Not because you don't have a gift, but because there are perhaps things in your life, time schedule, whatever it may be, that He wants to get a better hold of. And there may be a surprising manifestation of the Spirit through you. Father, thank You for this truth. It is so simple, yet so basic, we believe we cannot go on without it. We thank You for giving to each one gifts of the Spirit. We thank You that as we serve Jesus Christ, the head of the body, has placed all of us in places of service. And Father, we thank You that whatever the results are, the operations, the outworking, the effects of it, You're working in all people, that Your will be done. Encourage our brothers and sisters here. Encourage these people. God, it's our belief that there's so many things you want to do among us that we will all be surprised. And may we see this manifestation of the Spirit, but meanwhile, bring comfort to our hearts and encouragement as we move on. Thank you for these blessed, precious truths. Help us to build on them, that we may know what you want to do, and give our lives to you for this purpose of building your church until you come again to take your church out of the world. We ask you to guide us in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.